You're listening to Radio Aryan at RadioAryan.com.
Hello and welcome to Truthful Out Radio. Today's date is Friday, the 6th of April, 2018. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioAryan.com. And, of course, I am joined by the producer of Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told, Communism by the Back Door, and now the Freemasonic Victors of World War II, Mr. Dennis Wise. Dennis, how are you doing today?
Okay, thank you. Yeah, an interesting week researching, I've got to be honest.
Yeah, it's it looks like we're going to have a very interesting show for our listeners tonight. Not the usual topics that we go into, but I've had the privilege of being able to see the test copy of part 12 of the new documentary series, and it concentrates on one of the subjects that you've brought. You've been bringing it up every so often, I've noticed, Dennis. The Spanish Armada.
Yeah,
it's a very different tale to the one that we're used to hearing that you are portraying in the video, I think. Do you want to give people just a rundown of the Spanish Armada and what was happening at that time and why you feel it's important for people to learn about?
Okay. Well, everybody, as far as I know, I mean, I even asked you that question last night, I think, on Skype. I just fired your question over. I fired over to one or two just to make sure. And it seems that everybody I know, myself included, was taught that the Spanish Armada was coming over because Prince Philip was fed up of English pirates raiding the Spanish ships, one of obviously bringing the gold back from South America, got the biggest Armada ships, 130 ships, came over, expected to win. I mean, the British really were looking at a defeat at the size of this huge armada. And then consequently, it was destroyed by a storm. And also, they said that, I can remember them saying that the English ships were smaller and faster, and eventually they were defeated. But there was trails of wreckage all around Great Britain. And we never saw them again. That was the official version, what I got from school and what seems to be what everybody else I know got.
Yeah, that's the story that I'm aware of. What you show is that there wasn't just one armada. There were three armadas. And I also wasn't taught in school about the pirates. I mean, we are just told, that the Spanish were just trying to invade Britain. Now, I looked up the Spanish Armada on Wikipedia, and it has an interesting quote there. It says that the Spanish had a strategic aim, and the strategic aim was to overthrow Queen Elizabeth I and her establishment of Protestantism in England, with the expectation that this would put a stop to English interference in the Spanish Netherlands and to the harm caused to Spanish interests by English and Dutch privateering. So that's private commerce, isn't it? That's usury, and I guess that's a euphemism for piracy, from what you were saying about plundering the gold.
Yeah, it was not the honourable thing a country would do, as you can imagine.
Well, definitely not, but these pirates that were involved, you know, they use the skull and crossbones, don't they? Which is a very famous Freemasonic symbol. Now, I've heard there were links between the Freemasons and the pirates before. Do you know much about that?
Well, from what I can gather, the occult side of it, at least, we're taught Errol Flynn, Romantic Swashbuckling. From the occult side, they recognise the pirates as like the vanguard of the British Empire, which went around just causing absolute mayhem and destruction. They even said that some of these pirate leaders had magical powers. So, I mean, who knows, you know what I mean? Like, but certainly, I think we've been fed the wrong story about them.
Well, the pirates as well, if they were linked to the Freemasons and were linked to the establishment, that would be the same system that we have today, because all the gangsters and the mafia, they're all linked with the intelligence agencies, aren't they?
And they were in World War II,
They were in World War II, and it would fit in that around this time, which was the start of the intelligence agencies, which you point out with John Dee, who we'll talk about in a bit. So if he was starting out the intelligence agencies, and the very start of it was linked with piracy and the criminals of the time, which were the pirates. I mean, they were the outlaws, weren't they? They were the gangs that were robbing. Yeah. They were the gangsters of their day.
That's right.
And if all the profits, obviously, would have been going back to England and helping to get the money together for the British Empire, I guess.
Well, this is really, I feel, the actual root of the, not the British Empire as I look at it anymore now. I look at it as a British Jewish connection.
Well, it's a very interesting image that you show at the end. You show the extent of the British Empire, and I mean, that's pretty big. But then you show the extent of the Talmudic Masonic British Empire at the time.
It's even bigger.
Yeah, because of course, the British Empire didn't include the USSR, and yet Russia had been taken over by the Jews. Yeah, and America and the bankers. So if you're looking at the banking empire, it took in pretty much everything, didn't it?
They weren't far off actually completing the world government there, weren't they, really?
Yeah, and later on in the video you show the Versailles Treaty and the fact that there were 117 Jews at the Versailles Treaty, and every country there was represented by a Jew. So this was...
Well, I tend to look at the other way on that one as well, Sven, because when they say, like, say, for instance, Woodrow Wilson took his advisor. I don't believe he took his advisor. I believe Woodrow Wilson was the puppet of that Jew.
That's what I'm saying here as well.
Yeah.
To get back to the Spanish Armada, you then point out that there were two more armadas that were not actually told about, and this is really suspicious. They were also wrecked by storms. Now, that's the first time I've heard that. So tell us a little bit more about that, if you can.
Well, like I said, the first one you could probably accept as a coincidence and a natural occurrence, and bad luck. But when I found out that they'd hidden two more attempted invasions, which were later on in the century, about a decade later, 1596, obviously alarm bells start to ring when you find out that the storms destroyed these invasions as well. And I even found information to say that the Spaniards in the final attempt actually landed in Cornwall, and 400 Spaniards, but they had to retreat when they heard the news that the ships behind them had been sunk with a storm. Now, you surely think that would be mentioned in any history books in England school, but no. So consequently, we've just got this one invasion attempt, which was that smashed, it could never come back again. This is what we're told. And possibly the reason I'm saying for this is because they're hiding the fact that something's not right and they're not telling us.
Well, it's highly suspicious, isn't it, that there were three of these armadas that got stopped by storms. You would think after the first one, that they would think, well, the next one, we're going to go at a different time of year to make sure that there is less likelihood of there being any storms. Because it's not like it's impossible to get from Spain to England, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Three storms, each time there's an armada, that is highly suspicious. So what do you think is the reasoning why there was these three storms then, Dennis?
Well, the person in the centre of all this, I think, was John Dee, who was obviously a lot of things, mathematics genius, scientist, astrologer, but he was also into the black magic and he was into the occult. Now, I don't know if you can just cast your mind back to the episode when we had Roosevelt running around trying to build the Pentagon in time for the Americans to join the war, and the German army stopped right outside the gates of Moscow with the worst winter we've ever seen. That is beginning to look pretty, suspicious as well.
Yeah, it is very strange that this freak weather conditions ends up just by chance completely stopping the people that are opposed to the New World Order, opposed to the Masonic Jewish interests.
Yeah, well, they call it weather magic, believe it or not. I looked into it, and apparently, like, even before when the Vikings used to come over, apparently they used to cast these spells. But obviously, I'm looking at this era, and we've had three invasions, three storms, which obviously this Armada, I mean, the following two Armadas were even bigger than the first one. So, you know, you're talking England's got a real problem again. But these storms, again, prevent it. And it's, you know, when you've got somebody like John Dee, and he had some other people working with him who were into black magic, you've got to go down that route because the cult, I do call it, British elite, a cult, Talmudic Jewish empire. So the cult does come into it, and if that does come into it, that's a road that I have to go down. And going down it, you know, I found out one or two things which the cult believe, not necessarily what I believe, but what the cult believe, and probably talk about that a bit later as well.
So we know that John Dee was involved in astrology. He was involved with conjuring up angels or demons. Why he believed that he could control these angels, I don't know. We know that he was involved in the Kabbalah, and he was working with lots of other occultists, and he was the start, really, of the intelligence agencies, because he was receiving intelligence from these demons that he called angels, and they were telling him what was going on in the continent, and that was the start of these intelligence agencies. And obviously he was working with rabbis as well, and the Kabbalah. But is there any evidence to show that he was involved in weather magic? Have you heard about that at all?
Well, I'd heard that he had been. I've got to more or less find some definite information, because apparently it's when they're in the occult, it's one of the easiest things to do. That's what I've heard anyway. So, you know, I will look into that. There's some reference to him doing it with Kelly, using that particular language that he
Enochian.
He brought down. But like I said, yeah, I'll look into it. But it seems it's not a difficult thing for the occult to do, apparently.
Well, it's not that difficult for scientists to do today. They do the cloud seeding, don't they? You may notice that it doesn't rain in North Korea on their parades, and it doesn't rain in Red Square on their parades either. And that's because they do cloud seeding to make sure that it's going to rain somewhere else. So we have the technology to do that today. And a lot of science is linked in with the occult, isn't it?
Apparently he was getting information way ahead of his time, according to the occult.
Well, our whole way of looking at things, Professor E. Michael Jones talks about this a lot. The entire Newtonian way of looking at things goes back to paganism and a pagan view of the world. And I've often thought, well, all of our science seems to have negative effects to it in some way. If you look at what we use for fuel, the oil that we use and all the pollution and the contamination of everything that we get from that, and the plastics that are depleting everybody's testosterone mutating the fish, and all the technology that we seem to come up with always seems to have these bad side effects. And it all comes about from the way that we look at things. Yet if you look back in history, in the religious books, especially if you look in the Vedas, they talk about these amazing technologies that we used to have, and yet they didn't have the negative side effects that our science today has. And it was obviously working on some other level that we don't understand today, I guess.
People do have to understand that there are things in this world that we don't understand, that even things that have happened in the past, how they managed to build the pyramids, etc., we don't understand. So, you know, there has to be room there to be some things have to be accepted.
Yeah, we can't build anything like that to this day. I mean, the gaps in between those stones are so tiny, there isn't enough room to really get any cement in there. And yet it's, do you know what I mean? Yet it's all held together. And it's an incredible feat of engineering to think that was made, 3,000-4,000 years ago. And we don't have the technology to do it today. There are a lot of curiosities in the ancient world that we just don't know how they did it. Well, John Dee was believed that he was getting these information from these angels or the or these demons, and it was probably the same people, I would guess, that or the same entities that Aleister Crowley was talking to. Have you thought about that at all, Dennis?
As in Hollywood, in fact, they do that kind of thing quite a lot. The actors and even the music industry, you know, they admit to some of them admit to not actually writing the songs; it's fed through them. And same with the acting in Hollywood. I covered that in Communism by the Back Door. So I do believe all this does still carry on. And obviously, Crowley is revered.
Well, he called them the masters, didn't he, I think? And he got that from Blavatsky, who we were talking about last week.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right, yeah. But the interesting thing is that John Dee brought the Kabbalah to the courts. It was the first one, and he said it was the real deal, Kabbalah. I don't know whether he meant another kind, but this was the real deal. And this obviously then led to the rabbis being more important because they couldn't go to a university to understand the Kabbalah once they got into it. So they had to bring these rabbis in to help fathom, you know, the problems they were having.
Well, this is one of the problems that we see with Protestantism. Once Protestantism came in, they elevated Jews to this really high position, thinking that they were the people of the Old Testament. I mean, we know that in Britain, they wanted the Jews to come back to Britain because they thought if the Jews could see a proper Christian society, then the Jews would also become Christians. And they were also translating the Bible from Latin into English, and they were asking the Jews for help with this as well. They really did. They put them up on this elevated position, whereas the Roman Catholic Church had always been put them in ghettos, but put them beyond the pale.
Saw the danger, yeah.
And this is another bit in your documentary. You have Elizabeth I, and she talks about how if the Spaniards get over, it will be the Inquisition, that the terrible Spanish Inquisition will be here. Well, the Spanish Inquisition was going after Jews. That's what it was going after. These Murano crypto Jews to see whether they were real Christians or not. So, you know, what is this fear of the Spanish Inquisition getting to Britain if it wasn't fear of, that they were going to remove the Jews?
Well, they may have thought that they were thought of as heretics as well, because I think she was thought of as a heretic by Prince Philip.
Well, the Puritan ideals and the Protestant ideas and Cromwell's ideas, a lot of them were heretical. Yeah. It would have been called Judaizing by the Roman Catholic Church to start following these Jewish ideas.
Just to check, how long would Cromwell have been before this?
What is the date of this?
Probably not far. 1500s.
Yeah, not far. Not far off, within 100 years, I think. Maybe even nearer.
Yes, it's all coming together, isn't it?
Well, you also talk about these microbes and macrobes, and the John Dee was talking to them. So do you want to explain about that and what it was the macrobes were asking for?
Yeah. Well, the thing was, is the occult version is that John Dee was talking to these people who was of a higher level. Now, the microbes are beneath us, where the germs, there's a whole universe of, we have a telescope. Like the guy says, if 200 years ago, if you'd have been put in asylum. But now we've got the telescope and the technology, we can see all these germs, and it's a whole new universe. Well, they're saying that there's another one above us called the macrobes. And he got in touch with them and asked them for wanted information. And they gave it. But they gave him that much that he had to bring in his other people. He traveled the world before anyway, so he had contacts all over the world. So he brought all the other in Europe and other places, Bavaria places, where the Illuminati families were all taking this information, which apparently was just coming in droves. Well, the thing was that there was that much that they decided to centralise everything, and this is where you get universities. He's calling it universities. So everything's centralised, and all this information is going into these universities, where only a select few are allowed to view it, and up to a point, even we weren't allowed education up to 50 years ago. You know, our fathers and grandfathers were just out and out wondering why they're working the life away like a dog. But fortunately, we've got that privilege today. But at that time, you know, there were only a selective few. And I've always said that I've always felt that in the elite schools of Britain, you know, they're taught something totally different than what the public, or the ordinary schools are. So this is where you get your Crowleys and everybody else going into that Golden Dawn and the occult, even the Camerons, etc., will be taught different and be well aware of certain things that we're not. Apart from there, the internet coming around. What we're doing, we're looking into a side which they've been taught for quite some time, and they're saying that these microbes give all this information, but they don't do nothing for free. So when he asked them what exactly did they want, they requested blood, because in the occult, the blood is unique and highly valued. And he said no problem. And like the guy doing the lecture actually said, from that time, we see the rise of the British Empire, we see the rise of the stock exchange, all these things are there suddenly coming out of this tiny little country, which was, you know, all of a sudden would spread all its tentacles all around the world, become this great empire, go drain all the resources from all these places, feed it all back again, not to the working class of this country, but it all goes back to the elite and to the Jews. Consequently, we find out, which again, you know, when I first heard about it, I thought, hello, that we find out that on this armada, once the first one at least was wrecked, I don't know about the second or third, but on the first one, after it was wrecked, we find that the crown actually left the English sailors to die at sea, which always looked like a sacrifice to me, but could never ever get any close to proving it. Whereas the excuse was they just didn't want to pay them. Well, up to that point, there was only 100 sailors, if that, had been killed in the battle, because there weren't much of a battle. But consequently, all these sailors suffered disease and scurvy and starvation. It couldn't be anything else to me other than a sacrifice, but I couldn't understand why. I think I see it now.
Well, the excuse for that was that they needed to be left there in case there was another armada. But the armada, but it's going to take a year at least to rebuild another armada, because all the ships have been sunk.
That's right. Yeah, they were wrecked.
So that's not really a plausible excuse. So these macrobes, they are the same thing as the angels or the masters. And they are like the opposite of the microbes that we see with the microscope, that we can't see with our naked eye, but we know that they are there. And macrobes, yeah. I mean, it makes sense that there would be something giant there as well, doesn't it? I mean, everything has its equal opposites, doesn't it? You know, the world of duality.
Especially when I believe Crowley did crack that nut. You know what I mean?
Well, and then these macrobes are then asking for blood, and then we see a vast increase in wars, don't we, and lots of people dying.
Even World War One, I believe, could have been ended. I've heard that many times. It could have been ended 2 years before it were. You know, there's other examples of after World War Two, the amount of people what were killed after World War Two were probably more than most of what were killed during it. So there's always, especially when there's Jews around, you know, and these Talmudic Jews who, again, these ritual murders, the Kabbalah is linked to that. I know one of the murders in Russia, there was a guy out there who had a book on it, and he showed the nails, what they put inside of this child's head, matched this Kabbalah number, which was sacred. And cut a long story short, it was done, the actual sacrifice was done to make sure that they would get Palestine.
So you've got these macrobes that are asking for blood and lots of blood. You've got, you know, you've got these Illuminati, Freemasonic families that are all involved in the occult, and they're getting lots of information from these macrobes. Well, they must have been engaging in these blood sacrifices themselves. There must have been singular blood sacrifices before that the Jews were involved in, with the Jewish ritual murder that they lie yes. about and claim is a libel when it's not a libel. It's been proved, proved in the court, in the highest courts of the land, that they were guilty of this. And then, so you have individual murders up to all that, and then it steps up a notch with John Dee once he gets communication with them, and they say they want blood, lots of blood, in order for this information. So he then gets rewarded with the information, and you get the British Empire, and then you also get lots of blood and starvations and famine and wars and millions of people being slaughtered.
That's right. I mean, that was the most brutal empire and the largest empire the world has ever seen. And you know yourself from the little clips that I've shown, the lack of respect for life is just isn't there. You know what I mean? It's just the, we are what we are, cattle.
Well, we know the Jews have been involved in ritual murder for centuries, for millennia. And that's obviously linked up with the Kabbalah. I mean, it all does make sense, Dennis.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does all fit in. It does all fit in. Well, next up, you move from the blood sacrifices and the British Empire, and you move to the peace conference. And I think we talked about this a couple of episodes back, didn't we?
This is to do with the Jews running the world. I mean, when there's 117 Jews at Versailles, it kind of blows away the Jesuit argument.
Oh, completely. Completely. So then, so we've got these wars where we end up with lots of people dying, and these macrobes are happy with that, and then we end up with the Jews running everything through their puppets.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, which we've always suspected.
The original ones that were making these blood sacrifices in the first place.
Yeah.
So they've used the Gentiles. They've used the Europeans. The intellectual Europeans, they've used them to take over the world, basically, haven't they?
Yeah, well, it's not when the Bolsheviks went into a country, the first thing they did is took out the intelligentsia, and anyone of any importance or of any intelligence they killed, which you can throw in as a sacrifice at the same time. It's just, I mean, the amount the Bolsheviks killed was unbelievable. But they were the vanguard, like the pirates were supposed to be in them days. They were the vanguard for the bankers in at the turn of the century, and consequently it was even worse in World War II.
And Britain was conned into thinking it was the British Empire, and that all the wealth and the riches were going to be going to Britain, and Britain ruled the world. But as soon as the Jews had enough power, they were quite happy to let these countries go to the people whose countries it were. Like India was given independence, Pakistan was given independence, all these countries were given independence, but they still had the same central banks, the same central banking system. So everything had been set up to funnel all the money back to these Jewish bankers. So they couldn't care less if it was called the British Empire or what.
Exactly. Yeah, and plus after World War II, they had for the military arm, they had the Americans there.
Use the Americans to enforce their world banking system.
Which is what we see.
And then you've got Benjamin Friedman again, our old favourite of yours.
And, oh, yeah.
You know, we were asking the other day, weren't we? We were saying, what role was it that Benjamin Friedman had when he was at the Versailles conference? And he was liaison to Henry Morgenthau Sr., wasn't he?
Yeah, that's right. It was right in the middle of it all, weren't he?
Oh, very heavily involved in it, yeah. I mean, it's obvious he's talking the truth about this, and he's making the point that this is all about the Jews getting into Palestine and setting up their base there.
That's right. I mean, he even mentions world government.
Well, it's going to be the centre of the world government, isn't it? That's why they've got that big court there that they want to have as the world court for the United Nations, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's the one. I covered that again, coming in with my back door. So it's kind of like an expedition, if you like. I've got all this expedition in communism by the back door, got so far, and now I've gone down the Masonic route with this, and it's taking me even deeper, you know. And it's getting to a point where it's never been clearer.
Well, I think it's quite clear what you're showing here. You're showing this occult influence that's all tied up in all of this. It's not just money. It's occult as well. It's a Jewish Kabbalah and these intelligence agencies and this is how they started. They started with John Dee contacting these demons, and it was all linked up with the bankers as well. And then later on, you had the Rothschilds that set up in London and in Germany and in Austria and France. And they had an intelligence system where they could be fed information of what was going on in these countries before the official information had come back. And also you had these Jews that had also already been involved with these entities and doing the ritual murders. Of course, we hear about the Rothschilds being involved in that as well, don't we?
Well, we do, yeah. And the fact that they went around the world plundering all these resources and minerals and diamonds in South Africa and all this kind of carry on, at the same time putting women and children in concentration camps, and then all this money is coming back to the city of London, if you like, because he mentions the Hudson City Bay, and he mentions the East India Company, which again was Sassoon's, the Rothschilds of the East, these Jews. Sephardic Jews who were involved with that one. So it's all tying up. And the fact is, once they get all the wealth, then they start all these revolutions. You know, it's time now to take these. We can't be bothered to wait for these countries to fall. We'll take them down, French, Russian, you know, try with Spain and Germany, Mexico. The plan's all there. You can see what's happening.
Well, you can see the link between these intelligence agencies and the organised crime networks as well, can't you, right the way through?
Well, you can, yeah. I mean, who'd have thought that MI5 would have existed in Tudor days?
Yeah, it's the intelligence agencies, isn't it? But I mean, the fact that they were working with the pirates back then,
yeah.
And then you can move forward a little bit and you can see that...
CIA with the mob.
Yeah, you can see that the Sassoons were running the opium industry in China, so that's when the drugs influence came in. So you've got the drugs, you've got the pirates, then you've got organized crime, which we know is interlinked with the governments. And I mean, we hear about organized crime being linked in with Putin, but organized crime is linked in.
Well,
it's linked in with it's linked in with intelligence agencies everywhere, isn't it?
Murder Incorporated, that's right. They had a gang in America, Murder Incorporated, who went out on orders to wipe people out. And that was a totally Jewish organisation.
And then moving forward to today, and we have, you know, we have the fake Muslim terrorist organisations, Al-Qaeda and the Mujahideen and all these ones that are out there in Syria at the moment. And they're run by the CIA and the intelligence agencies as well. And we hear that Wahhabism itself was first spread by MI6 because they wanted to use it as a bulwark against the Soviets in the countries that the Soviets were trying to take over. So they funded all these mosques and these madrasas and this extremist Islam. So all these ills that we have, the drug gangs, the terrorism, the organized crime, all of it is also tied in with the very people that we are told are the ones that are actually fighting against it.
That's right.
You know,
I don't know anybody else who's going down this road, in this day and age. I don't know anybody else who's going this deep with Masons and connecting it to World War II, because most people think that Hitler was a bad guy anyway.
Well, you've also got the fact, if you look at the police, they're not about solving crimes at all, are they? You know, they've got no interest in preventing crimes, rather. They don't want to prevent crimes. All they want to do is solve crimes and find criminals. It's like with these new hate speech laws. All they're interested in doing is getting the statistics up so that they can say, we keep finding more and more of these hate crimes. And yet there was no such thing 20 years ago, 30 years ago. And they've just invented it. And they what they want is more of them. If they were to see that there was no hate crimes, they would you know, they'd be in trouble.
Well, I've been suspecting since I found out about, you know, the Clergy plan and the Barcelona plan and all, you know, that things have been arranged. I said a while back, I said that the Muslims must know what's going on, because they'd look around at their country and see full of Christians, they'd be shaking their head. So you see all these Muslims coming into Europe and into Britain, you know, and they're all organised, they're all being walked in lines, if you can remember, where, you know, they were smuggled in at night. The main Muslims, the top Muslims, must have known, which of course the Barcelona agreement proves, and Israel's involved as well, obviously we always knew that. But the thing was, I always felt that the Muslims were getting away with murder. I mean, you don't rape them, you know, 14-year-olds and 12-year-olds in Telford for nearly 30, 40 years, rather than for 18 months, you know, and the police, the excuses were frequently being called racist. Well, come on, just a wash. And I've always felt that the orders from the top, the idea was to race mix us out, so there's no problem these Muslim gangs grooming these white girls, because that's the intention anyway. And I watched a video over the weekend, and I saw in Hyde Park, a woman went up to a police officer because the Muslims were all on mats praying. And apparently she'd got this, you know, regulation there saying this shouldn't be allowed. There's no prayers allowed in this park, whether it's Christian or Muslim. Can you go and stop it? Because it's offending me. And the police turned around and said, no way. We ain't stopping them.
Well, we know that they work with them. But this it's like infiltration. If you think about it, they think, well, how can we find intelligence on these crimes? We've got these criminal gangs. We need to get intelligence on them. We need to know what they're doing, when they're doing it, and who's involved with it. So first off, you would think that they would infiltrate and they would have these informers that would be informing the police. And then eventually they think, well, why not just set the gangs up ourselves? And then we'll know everything that's going on in them. So you end up with, which is what they've done. So you have the police and the intelligence agencies, and they've all, and they're all linked in together with organized crime and terrorism and the pedophile rings. Yeah. Yes. Every crime that there is that you can think of, they are also involved in, you know, they would have to be to be gaining this intelligence on it, because they're not about preventing any of this. Not about preventing it at all. If there was no crime, there'd be no need for them. You know, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy, isn't it?
Yeah, the thing is, right, it's, you know yourself, if there's a no-go area which developed, say, in the 70s, where whites would stop police from going in, it won't last 2 minutes. They'd just go in there. But you can see in Europe today, these no-go areas, there's no attempt. I saw another video I saw in Sweden where I think there were like 19 no-go areas where the police dare not go. And these white lads who were just marching, complaining about the situation, suddenly there was hundreds of police around them. It's just so biased. And they're so arrogant now with the way they are. It's just, they know they can't be really stopped. There's no, there hasn't been since 1945 any military opposition.
Well, the government refuses to investigate these things because they know that if they were to find that Islam did have problems with the ideology, they would have to do something about it. And if they did have to do something about it, they know that it would cause riots. So they just don't do it.
I saw this Gala talking, and he was apparently, you know, there's people in the Labour Party and other gay activists who, I can't remember the names, but I can picture the faces, are going around saying that nothing to worry about. This, if Sharia law ever comes in, then the gays are going to be all right. And this gay was saying, does he think I'm stupid? You know, he said, I'm the first off the top of a roof. So even the gays now are trying to convince other gays that things are going to be fine.
Well, that's one of the main talking points nationalists use, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know,
that's going to be crazy when that comes in.
They talk about how the Muslims are against the homosexuals and they will be persecuting them, but you don't see any let up with the support for it on the left.
Exactly. Crazy. It's like a suicide Lenin mission.
It is. It's brainwashing. It's total, utter brainwashing. We're talking about John Dee at the time of John Dee, but at least they didn't have the media and the propaganda which they have now.
Exactly. Yeah, it's even worse now. I mean, I look at some of these antifas, and they're complete. They can't hold an argument. They just go berserk. The brain just gets fizzed.
Well, they're not used to debating. They're not used to actually hearing these ideas. This is why they need to shut it down all the time, because they don't have any answers for us.
Well, I'm pretty sure Sharia law is in. I mean, people think Sharia law is not going to come. Sharia law is already in. I've noticed some councils now in England that what they've done is they've brought it in, but the excuse has been it's just for the weddings. Well, once you've got a foot in door, it doesn't take long for another amount of Sharia law to come through.
Well, the blasphemy laws are already here, aren't they? We're not allowed to criticise Islam. We're not allowed to... Yep. Criticize Muhammad. We're not allowed to point out things that are wrong with Islam, and that's the Sharia blasphemy law. Anyone that criticizes Islam should be put to death. I mean, that's the extremity of it, but we already have people being sent to prison for that. So they may not call it the blasphemy law, but that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Alongside,
I mean, if you hand your country over to Muslims, which is the objective, you can see this when I've got Cameron talking, in one of the documentaries, saying that we need more Muslims in power in the army, in the government. We don't just want to see white Christian faces. It doesn't get any plainer. They're handing this country over and Europe over to the Muslims. But of course, they won't be running it. It'll be the same people, the same Masonic, Talmudic, elite Jews still running it.
Well, they've always worked with the Muslims. The only difference there is between Jews and Muslims is disagreements over Palestine. That's all. They've always worked in tandem before. If you can look at, you can look at what happened in Europe with Spain and Italy and with the Muslims there, and it's the same in Persia. I mean, Persia used to be white. And there was a colony of Jews that were in Persia, and they opened the gates to the Arabs. And the Arabs went into Persia, did what they do wherever they go, and they ruined the genetics of the country, and they turned them all into brown Arabs. And that's why Iran is now full of Arabs and they're brown. It's because the Jews opened up the gates to them, the same as the Jews opened up the gates in Spain. And once the Arabs come in, once the Muslims come in, they end up using the Jews in the same way that our kings used to use them as tax collectors, and allowing them to do their usury, and they have a privileged position also with their occult. And this is why Jews were known as being doctors because of the occult connection, because of the magic connection.
It's called a doctor, isn't it? Doctor. From his name, we've just been talking about
John Dee.
Yeah, Doctor John Dee. Yeah,
Doctor John Dee. But Elizabeth I outlawed witchcraft, and yet they were saying that you were saying that even though she outlawed witchcraft, she was far more lenient than the Roman Catholics. So what?
They used to throw in a river, didn't they? If you swim. Then you must be a witch. Well, as soon as she changed the law and put it as an outlawed witchcraft, it went under, the judgment of a court. And the sentences were half as bad as that.
we know that a lot of the witchcraft was actually the Jews, wasn't it? I mean, this is why they like to make a big fuss today and say, oh, there were 6 million innocent wise women were put to death during the Spanish Inquisition for being witches. And that isn't entirely true, because the majority of the witches were Jews, and that's why they had to wear pointy hats, and that's why we think of a Jew wearing a pointy hat, is because or a witch wearing a pointy hat is because that's what the Jews were told to wear.
Well, like I said, as well in the documentary, it's the only religion, witchcraft is the only religion Britain's ever exported.
Well, you've got the modern day witch is all entirely new, the same as the modern day druid, the same as the modern day pagan. That can all be traced back to the same sources, like reinventing things and imagining what they would have been like and then trying to claim a heritage. But before that, what you had was Jews, and you had Jews and the Kabbalah and the magic that the Jews were involved in, and the ritual slaughter that they were involved
in. Exactly. Mysticism.
I guess. And then you had John Dee and the Freemasons and the Rosicrucians and all the secret texts that they had. And then from that, you get the modern day witchcraft and the modern day pagans and druids. Their history goes back to these people that were in the Freemasons and the Rosicrucians.
Well, you also get when they discover America and people start to go over there, you get an element of Christianity, but you also get an element of Freemasonry and Rosicrucians, which is why, you know, you see all the Masonic symbols all around America and why people, you know, are arguing saying whether we're Christian or not. But they were both there, but, you know, over time, one become more powerful than the other.
Well, Masonry was massive, wasn't it, at the time?
It was to be honest, it is in this country as well, because I can go to the smallest town in this country and I'll find a Freemason's Hall. Exactly the same in America. You can go out in America, into Midwest or whatever, you'll find a Masonic Hall. In fact, you'll find a few in a town which is probably 10,000.
And all that came about through the Protestantism and through this elevation of the Jew to this high position of authority, and what the Jews said had this gravitas because they were the people of the Old Testament, so we must listen to them. That's what all this boils down to, and that, you know, that's a complete con, as we've gone into many times before. They're nothing to do with the people of the Old Testament. They're the enemies in the Old Testament. But because the Protestants split with the church, you know, they split with all the traditions of the church, and they asked, you know, Martin Luther was asking the Jews how he should be translating the Bible.
Yeah, it's never good, is it?
Yeah, it took him to the end of his life before he really realized what they were like. And then he said, you know, the best way to baptize a Jew is to tie a stone around his neck and throw him in the river.
There was some of what Benjamin Friedman said about that as well. He said, like, that Pontius Pilate spoke Latin. And what they put above Jesus' head wasn't Jesus and Nazareth, King of the Jews. It was something totally different. But they twisted it when they translated it to the King of the Jews.
Well, they were mocking him there anyway. He never claimed to be King of the Jews. I mean, he was descended from King David. He shows his genealogy. He wasn't a Judean. He was from Galilee, and he was from the house of David. So he never once claimed to be a Jew. He said the Jews...
says that as well. He's adamant. Hitler were adamant. He weren't a Jew.
Well, he says that the Jews' father is the devil, the master of lies from the beginning, murderer from the beginning. He's not saying, you know, his father is the devil. He says he has a different father to the Jews.
Exactly.
So
Well, the plot thickens. It's an interesting road to go down this. Like I said, he wears a secret Masonic mixture. It's getting more secret by the minute.
Oh, where do you think the series is going to go to next then, Dennis?
Well, I think I'm going to somehow end up at World War II and just look, you know, you'll realise then just what Hitler has to face. You know, this incredible guy who's raised his country from, pulled them back from the brink, and now they're squirting for a war because he doesn't want a war. He's not that stupid. He wants to build his country up, but they want rid of Germany and they want rid of him. And the fact that they fooled all the nations outside of Europe now, you know, Britain, America, you know, that this is a monster. And they get all these Christian armies now to go and invade Germany, which he's having a problem there in the Soviet Union. He's going to split his forces when the troops land, you know, on D-Day. So, you know, sad what it is, but, you know, our own people killed the very people that were trying to save them. How ironic is that?
Well, what are you going to be doing any more on the Freemasonic side of things? I know you've recently been looking at one of those SS books on Freemasonry.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's all that. I've got another book as well, another one I downloaded the other day, which is interesting. It's got some information in there as well, which I never knew. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know how long this is going to be. I keep saying to you, I mean, I had no idea. When I did this with you the other week, we did part 12, and we named the Jews what were at Versailles. You know, I had no idea we're going to go down this armada. Although, like you said, I've always mentioned it because it's always been back in my mind. But suddenly, you know, saw the opportunity to bring this in and prove one or two things.
Well, it can't just be a coincidence, can it? Three armadas, every single one is destroyed by storms. There's got to be something else to that. It can't just be a coincidence, can it?
No, once is fair enough, you know what I mean? You might, but three times. And then they don't tell you there were three invasions.
Well, that's probably why, isn't it?
That's exactly probably why, yeah. Because if you started looking at three invasions, well, hang on a minute, there were three storms. You know, like you say, it's a problem then, isn't it? And plus, you find out when they sacrificed the sailors after the first one, who knows what they did with the second and the third one?
Well, they had plenty of bloodshed going on elsewhere in the world, I would have thought. And you've got a big increase in the amount of people killed during the wars as well, haven't you, with World War One? I guess before that, you've also got the Civil War in America. There was
bloodbath.
Yeah, that was a big bloodbath.
Masonic, you know, Pike.
Are you going to do anything on the Civil War? I know someone was asking that in the comments a while back.
I was looking at it about Pike, and it's funny, they're all asking for all these other statues to be brought there, but nobody's asking for Pike's statue, and he were a war criminal.
That's bizarre, isn't it?
Very.
You know, you would think that they would be mentioning him, with him being, you know, to do with the Illuminati and a Freemason. But it's not. All the others they talk about.
In the North, in Washington, from who fought in the South. Because they revere him that much, obviously. But yeah, nobody's trying to pull him down.
Yeah, I guess maybe the people, I mean, the people that are doing this, the left and the SJWs, maybe they're not aware of the Illuminati. You would think they would be, wouldn't you? Well,
obviously the people in charge are, so they're not pointing them in that direction. They'll point them to areas in the South to cause mayhem, like, you know, there was a documentary on about civil rights march of the week with Martin Luther King, and not a mention that they were communists.
Did you see that Winnie Mandela has died? That's a bit of good news.
Oh, I didn't know about that. Oh, maybe that's a sacrifice, then.
Yeah, she's died, and they're all talking about how wonderful she was and how she fought to end apartheid. And there's very little mention of all the people brutality. She killed, and the brutality and the torture, and you know, some of the quotes that she said about how they'll win this war with their tires and their gasoline and their matches.
Exactly.
It's like
the
statue of Nelson Mandela that they've got in the middle of London. I mean, the guy was a terrorist, responsible for massacres of untold numbers of people, and yet he's raised up as being some kind of hero.
Yeah, and that's with the pop industry as well. When they were doing all them concerts for him, all the ones that you see today, you know, that were all there. The ones that are, you know, hanging around the United Nations pretending to be politicians.
No, I remember that Free Nelson Mandela song.
Yes. Yeah, they were all there.
I won't play in Sun City and all this nonsense, all these pop stars.
Bono was given Woman of the Year the other month, weren't he? Just about sums him up.
You know, they've always used the pop stars and the film stars and brainwash the youth to get them behind these things when they don't really know what they're talking about. It's the same today, isn't it? With these marches after this school shooting in America at the moment, and you've got all these brainwashed kids that are just repeating things that they've been told to say by their teachers.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I can foresee the day when they're going to get them. I really do. In fact, America's a corporation anyway. I think they can pull the plug at any time because the corporation then overrides the old United States because the corporation, which Roosevelt brought into action with Australia, with Britain, all the countries are corporations. Only Germany didn't want to be, and they flattened them.
Well, this is, I think this is a problem with American nationalism. I mean, you're talking about America, and it's just, it's a corporation. It's the name of a company. It's not the name of, an ethnicity or a specific people. It's the name of a corporation. So it just, you know, I can't understand how American nationalism is going to succeed.
No, well, speaking of that, I was listening to an interview by Milo the other day, this alternate right, and it was being, I think Joe Haynes, I think his name is, I don't know, but he's popular anyway. The guy was interviewing him, and he was asking him about his connections with this priest that he knew when he were younger. And Milo admitted that he were a teenager when it happened. And what, 13? This is paedophilia, Milo. Well, no, I was the one chasing him, really. Well, if he's going to lead the alternate right, you know, it's a problem for me.
Well, I just think most people have spoken out against him. I mean, it was quite a while back that he did, I think he was working for Breitbart, and he wrote something about the alt-right, and straight away everyone distanced themselves from him. Well, you can't have a gay Jew speaking for the alt-right. But I guess the alt-right itself is a very broad term, isn't it? And it covers everything from National Socialism to Alex Jones, and then you can split it up into, you know, the alt-right and the alt-light. You know, it seems to be a useful term for me, because it, you know, it links everybody together on the right and makes it appear, you know, much, much bigger than it would be than just its individual parts.
Yeah, I see your point. Just people like him just need to be shut up, really.
Yeah. All right, Dennis. Well, thanks for coming on today. When do you think this video is going to be out for the listeners to view?
I would like to say be just after the weekend. It really depends how things go. But it's been a difficult one, but I'm quite pleased that you've had a look at it now, because I know you shoot from the hip, and I'm quite sure you'd have pointed some things out. But it seems to, you know, it is feasible to accept that three storms and three armadas were not told about. There's something going on.
Yeah, definitely dodgy. And that's the first time that I've heard about that. So, thanks for bringing that to our attention, Dennis. And hopefully that you'll get that out on Monday. Listeners can go and view it then. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. Don't forget that we do require donations to keep Radio Aryan going. And we have a Bitcoin wallet in the left-hand sidebar at radioaryan.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you all have a great weekend. And we'll see you all again next Friday for another Truthful Out Radio.
Tuned in to Radio Aryan.